The Detroit Pistons are going to go yet another season, not only without a playoff appearance, but another season without a playoff win. Just how long has it been since the last playoff win, and when will the next playoff win ever come to the Pistons? We're going to talk about all that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. So later on in the podcast coming up, we're going to talk about Jalen Duren's playing time, which continues to be a point of discussion amongst the Pistons community. We're going to talk about that. And then later, even later on in the podcast, we'll talk about RJ Hampton and how he's looked since being acquired on the buyout market, basically, from the Denver Nuggets. We'll talk about all that, or not the Denver Nuggets, the Orlando Magic, I'm sorry, since acquiring him from over there after they let him go. We'll talk about how he's played since coming over here a little bit later. But first, I got to talk about this playoff drought, man. So the Sacramento Kings finally made the playoffs. And once they clinched the playoffs, they snapped the longest playoff drought of any sports team out there. So it's now become a topic of discussion about the longest active playoff droughts in sports. And I saw this tweet from The Athletic earlier today. And it's, again, it's the longest active playoff droughts in sports. And at the top of the list, you have the New York Jets. You got the Buffalo Sabres. And then it doesn't take long to start seeing Detroit sports. And man, once you start seeing Detroit sports, you can't stop seeing them. You got the Detroit Tigers, third. Then you got the Detroit Lions at, I believe, like eighth or something, at 6 years. You got the Red Wings tied with them for 6 years. The Pistons are going on, what, since 19? It's going to be 4 years. But what's even worse about the Pistons playoff drought, they've made the playoffs a little bit over the last 10 years. They made it twice. They made it once in 2015 and then another time with Blake in 18 and 19. But what's even worse about the Pistons is that they have an incredibly long playoff win drought. They have not won a playoff game since 2008. The last time they won a playoff game, Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton were all in a jersey together. Tayshaun Prince, they were all in a jersey together the last time the Detroit Pistons won a playoff game. And then obviously everything went downhill and we haven't seen really much glory since they traded Chauncey Billups for Allen Iverson. I tell you guys this all the time. I remember getting off the bus at elementary school, getting off the bus, walking to my house, and my stepdad at the time coming out of the house and screaming at me down the road, Chauncey Billups has been traded. And I literally cried. I cried as like, I think I was 10 years old. I think at 10 or 11, I cried the entire walk on. I started running to the house, didn't believe him, got inside, saw Chauncey was traded, started crying, and really, we've been crying since. Pistons fans, we've been crying since that day, because the whole rebuild at that point failed. They ended up signing Charlie Villanueva and Ben Gordon. That failed. We've seen multiple rebuilds in Detroit, and honestly, maybe not even rebuilds. Actually, let me change that. I feel like Troy Weaver is the only GM that's actually went with a rebuild. Joe Dumars tried to patch it and try to keep things going. Didn't work out. Stan Van Gundy came in, tried to make up for a bunch of bad signings from from Joe Dumars. Ended up getting to the Pistons in the playoffs, but then everything fell apart after that. And then obviously we got that short, quick Blake Griffin era that didn't really amount to anything but Blake willing the team to a playoff appearance, in which cost him basically the back end of his career, cost him one of his legs, and he was only able to play in two of the games in the playoffs. So it's been a really tough drought for the Pistons. It's a tough, it's crazy to think about that it's been that long. It doesn't strike me as that long when I think about it. It does not feel that long ago that the Pistons had won a championship. And I saw someone tweet this out before I started recording. The Pistons currently have a bigger discrepancy of time between the last time they won a playoff win to now than they did from the two championships that they won with the Bad Boys to go into work team. That was 14 years between those two teams. We're going on, what, 15 years now since a playoff win? That's crazy to think about. That's absolutely crazy to think about. It doesn't feel like that, at least to me, probably because I'm really young. I guess I'm 25. I don't know if that's why it doesn't feel like that to me. But I'm sure to a lot of fans, it does feel that long. It's crazy to think about that. It's not just Pistons. Detroit sports in general, we're all over this list. Eventually, we got to have some kind of success, right? Like, we have to have some kind of joy at some point. A playoff win from the Lions or the Pistons. I felt bad for Tigers fans, man, because I don't watch baseball much at all. I do play MLB The Show. You don't want to add me. I'll get you out of there, okay? Do not mess with me on that. But I don't really like watching baseball. But I did see, apparently, yesterday was opening day. And I saw some Pistons fans tweeting out a bunch of sad memes because apparently the Tigers didn't score a run, I believe. And I tweeted out, I was like, man, I pray that all of you guys who are Pistons fans that are also Tigers fans, I pray that the Tiger season goes up much better for you guys because, man, that if you got to deal with the Pistons season and then the Tiger season coming right after it and they don't succeed at much, man, it's just... That's tough, man. It's been tough as a Pistons fan. It's been tough as a Detroit sports fan lately. So now we finally get to the question, which the reason why I talked about all this other stuff first is because I don't really have an answer for this. The question is, when do the Detroit Pistons win a playoff game again? When will they? Because right now, I don't think that's the first question on people's minds. The first question on people's minds is, when are they going to make the playoffs? When are they going to make the play-in? Like, that's the first question that comes about. Not even about a playoff win. So who knows how long the Pistons will be from a playoff win. We might be 3-4 years away. And then that streak, heck, this streak might get to 20 years. Like, my God. Let me not say that. That there's no way it will get to 20. That means it would take another 5 years for a playoff win. No way. That's me being a little bit dramatic. Okay. let me not say that. But for real, it might take another 2 years to get a playoff win. 2 to 3 years. And then you're looking at like 16, 17, 18 years without a playoff win. It's tough, man. It's tough to be a Pistons fan. And honestly, what I want to hear from some of you guys, not only do I want to hear, when do you guys think the Pistons will win another playoff game? Which, if I had to guess right now, I'll say 2025. I think in 2025, the Detroit Pistons will win a playoff game. Don't know how many, but I think they'll win at least one in 2025. And I'm not counting a play-in win as a playoff game. That doesn't count. Talking about an actual playoff game victory. I think they'll win one in 2025. But I want to hear from you guys. When do you guys think they're going to win their next playoff game? And two, has it really felt this long to you guys? Has it really been this long since the last playoff win for the Pistons? How have you felt during this time? What are some cool stories that have helped you get through this? Like, what are you guys feeling right now? Because honestly, before I saw this list, I hadn't thought about it for a while. And I was like, man, 14, 15 years? It does not feel that long ago, man. It's crazy. And I also feel like I'm getting a little bit older. That's probably why I don't like thinking about it. Because it's making me feel a little bit older. But yeah, let me know. When you guys think the Pistons will win their next playoff game? Let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. Coming up, Jalen Duren's playing time has been a topic for discussion over the last 2 weeks or so. And it hit even higher highs this past game when he didn't even reach 20 minutes of action. What's going on with Jalen Duren? Should we be okay with this? We'll talk about that coming up. But first, I've got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors. I got to tell you guys about FanDuel Sportsbook. The tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net. All in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at the no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up today. Again, don't miss your shot at the no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up today. Make every moment more with FanDuel Sportsbook. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Those of you guys watching on YouTube, you guys see the new setup. I know you guys see it. Looking nice, man. I'm telling you, it's looking nice. We're getting up in the world, man. We're getting up. If you guys are not watching on YouTube, I advise you guys to go check it out and see what the setup looks like. The setup looks nice, man. It's dope. But Jalen Duren. Ever since the Pistons traded for James Wiseman, all I heard from a ton of you guys, I heard this from, I'd say, man, I feel like at least 80% of the fan base, I gotta be honest. I heard nonstop, is this Wiseman trade going to hurt Jalen Duren? Is this Wiseman trade going to cause the Pistons to not prioritize Jalen Duren? And I said over and over and over again to you guys, no way. Jalen Duren is the center of the future. That's not going to happen. If anything, they're going to play them together and see if they can fit together, see if Jalen Duren's passing can find some way of making that potential lineup work together. I said that for a while. Then again, I mean, we've went through this multiple times, but Jalen Duren comes back from injury. He comes off the bench. I came on here, you know, it's just because he's injured. They did the same thing last game, or last time he came back from injury, the same the first time. Then the following game, they started him. Then they didn't start him the following game. I said, okay, he's probably on a minutes restriction. Then he didn't start him the next game. And I was like, okay, maybe he's on a minutes restriction still. Then they didn't start him the next game. I was like, okay, we might have an issue here. Then they didn't start him again. Then they didn't start him again. Then they didn't start him again, and blah, 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 blah. They did it for 4 more games, and now we're at 9 games now of Jalen Duren no longer being the Pistons starting center. It is now James Wiseman, and the Pistons starting power forward, which is basically another big guy, is Marvin Bagley. They have started Marvin Bagley and James Wiseman over the last 9 games, and it looks like there's no end in sight. The Pistons have 5-6 games left. They're not going to turn back on that, and it's probably going to end the season like that. I don't agree with this. I think it's incredibly dumb. I don't understand why this is happening. Jalen Duren, I see the common argument that I see from those saying it's not a big deal is that, oh, Jalen Duren's proven enough. He's proven everything. They need to see more of Wiseman Bagley. He doesn't need these reps as much as them. How about no? That doesn't even... Jalen Duren's 19 years old. He's a rookie. He needs these reps. He needs these reps more than them. He's better than Bagley. He's better than Wiseman. He is the Pistons center of the future. He needs these reps. He's not a third year, fourth year, fifth year player. He is the youngest player in the entire NBA. What has he proven? He's proven through his rookie season what? That he's not a bust? That he was a good pick? Yeah, that's what he's proven. But that doesn't mean he doesn't need reps at the end of his rookie season where, again, he's the youngest player in the entire NBA. That argument makes zero sense. I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't agree with that argument at all. The other argument is, James Wiseman, when they traded for him, had less career minutes played than Jalen Duren. Crazy. Crazy to think about. He's been in the league 3 years. It's crazy to think about it that way. So, they feel like they need to get James Wiseman more reps and get him as many reps as possible for the rest of the year for him to, you know, have mistakes, learn from them, get a bunch of stuff put on tape, all that kind of stuff. Let them play through mistakes. And that I can somewhat agree with. That I can be on board with. Because it is. James Wiseman did not have a lot of sample size in the NBA. He hasn't played a lot at all. He needs to be on the court, and the Pistons need to get a good look at him for as much as possible. So while I do agree with that, I do not agree that it should come at the cost of Jalen Duren. If you're going to do that, it has to come at the cost of Marvin Bagley then. Someone's going to have to lose minutes here. Somebody. But it should not be Jalen Duren. It should be Marvin Bagley. And if the Pistons want to run two bigs, which we talked about this on the last podcast, if they want to run these two bigs, which is quite obvious they want to, they've made it very clear to everybody that two bigs is what the Detroit Pistons want to be. This is what we want to do. Yada, yada, yada. All of that. They've made it very, very clear that this is what they want to do. So if that's what you want to do, Why don't you start the big that actually has the skill set to make it happen? Just start Wiseman and Dern together, let them play together, and see if they can make it work. Because we've already talked about how bad the Bagley-Wiseman lineup has been. But screw, don't even worry about how bad that lineup has been, according to the numbers, their on-offs, all that stuff. Screw that. How about the simple fact that Dern has the skill set to actually make a two big lineup work? And Jalen Dern's the most important out of all of them. He should not be losing minutes for the sake of Wiseman. He should not be losing minutes for the sake of Bagley. He is not an older player. He is not some vet player. He is not someone who just doesn't need the reps now because he's a proven player. Jalen Dern is not a proven commodity. He is not some proven player. He is the youngest player in the NBA that needs reps just as much as everybody else. And on a rebuilding team, on a basically a tanking team, at the end of the season, the final 20 games usually, have always been across every tanking team. It's always about getting your young guys minutes, getting your young guys reps, giving them extended periods of time to play. Not cutting back on the youngest player in the league's minutes. That doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense to me. So I get Pistons fans' frustrations with that. I you need an explanation for it. That doesn't include, well, he's already proven. No, he's not. And then this was the final straw. This was the final straw for me right here. I'm not going to lie to you guys. So before this past game against the OKC Thunder, Jalen Dern had been averaging 21 minutes a game. That's just criminal. It's just criminal. In those 21 minutes a game, 11 points a game, 8.5 rebounds, shooting 60% from the field. Just criminal stuff. But he was doing work in those 21 minutes of action. Should be closer to 30 minutes of action. But anyways, that's what he was averaging in the games before OKC. In the game against OKC, Jalen Dern did not even reach 20 minutes of action. He didn't reach 20 minutes. He played 19 minutes in this game. He only had 3 fouls. He played 19 minutes in this game. It just can't happen, man. It can't happen. It's criminal, dude, what they're doing with Jalen Dern right now. Even if you feel like, you know, it doesn't matter if he starts, blah, 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 all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. If you feel that way, cool. I disagree with you. I can argue with you forever, but whatever. If that's how you feel, cool. I refuse to believe that there's any of you guys out there that believe even if he's coming off the bench for these guys, he should not be playing at least 20 minutes. Like, that's just insane. That's just insane. You want to know what makes it even worse? And I know the counter to me will be, well, Coop, they're obviously tanking. They're doing it on purpose. I'm sorry to break it to you guys, but a coach is out there. Dwayne Casey's not out there coaching to lose. Dwayne Casey's out there coaching to win. I guarantee you, if you said to Dwayne Casey, oh, well, we're not going to criticize you or even ask you questions about these games because you guys are obviously tanking. You're purposely trying to lose. You would get shunned. From Dwayne Casey, he'd never speak with you again. You'd probably get kicked out the media. Like, it wouldn't happen. So that's not what's going on. They may be tanking coming from the top down, but Dwayne Casey in specific games is coaching to try to help them win. He's not purposely throwing games out there, I don't feel like. I don't think that's... No coach is out there purposely throwing games. And if they are, it's a problem. On the final play of the game, the Pistons yet again were not able to get a defensive rebound to get the win. Now, again, a lot of people feel like that was for the best. Long term, another loss, keep those top odds. I get it. But in that scenario, Jalen Dern not being on the floor, even in that scenario, plus the fact that he didn't play 20 minutes, is even more confusing. Even more confusing. He doesn't play 20 minutes of action. And then on a possession where you desperately need a defensive rebound, on a possession where you called a timeout beforehand and got your defense for offense subs in, or offense for defense subs, with Isaiah Livers came in, you don't bring Jalen Dern into the game. I don't get it. I don't know what they're doing with Jalen Dern. Do I think this is going to ruin his future? No, I don't think it's going to ruin his future. But it doesn't make any sense what they're doing. I don't get it. He needs these reps too. He needs these reps. He needs these reps with Jaden Ivey. He needs to continue to build that chemistry with him. And again, the thing that makes it even more crazier is that Jalen Dern is the guy who can make a two big lineup work. And will be part of the two big man lineup in the future. So why are you not trying to get him minutes and him reps with two bigs? It seems like that would be the guy you're trying to get the most reps with two bigs. It escapes me. It escapes me, the logic behind this. I don't know. Listen, some people may say he's dealing with some bum ankles. I'm going to need someone from the organization to come out and say that's flat out why he's not playing then. And even then, I might push back a little bit against it. Because he's played the last 9 games. He reached 27 minutes against Denver. He reached 27 minutes against Milwaukee. If his ankles were keeping him on a minutes restriction, he wouldn't have just played 27 minutes a game before OKC. That's not what's happening here. So, I don't agree with it. I think it's dumb. I don't understand why they're doing it. But it looks like it's something that's going to continue for the rest of the year. It is what it is. Let me know what you guys think about that. Do you guys agree with what they're doing with Jalen Duren? Do you disagree with what they're doing with Jalen Duren? Just give me your overall thoughts on that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukil. Coming up, RJ Hampton. How has he played since arriving in Detroit? Does he have a place on this roster moving forward? Or is this just a showcase for another NBA team across the NBA? We'll talk about that coming up. But first, you guys got to hear from some of our sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star. I did it again. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. That's another great way to support the podcast. I don't know what's going on. My hand just comes up immediately anytime I start talking about this. Even before I say 5-star review, it just comes up. I guess you really need to leave a 5-star review. It's that important. But anyways, RJ Hampton has played 15 games now with the Detroit Pistons, and he's had some ups, he's had some downs. What have I thought about his overall play with the Pistons? I think he's been inconsistent, but he's joined a team midseason. I guess you figured that would happen. I think he's a fine, he's okay, he's okay. I haven't been blown away with him. I haven't been just disgusted with him. I think he's okay. I don't think he's proven to have a place on this team moving forward. I don't think he's going to be on this team next year. I think his cap hole will be taken off this offseason, and he will be off the Detroit Pistons moving forward. What I do think this is, though, is somewhat like what happened with Dennis Smith Jr. when the Pistons traded for him. And you see him now. He's playing really well for Charlotte. He's revived his career, and he's going to probably get somewhat of a bag for his type of role in this offseason. He's one of the best defensive point guards in the entire NBA. He's played really well. And that defensive identity, that because before, early in his career, he wasn't known as some defensive guy, but that started to change. If you guys remember, I was the host of the podcast when, I think I was the host of the, I'm pretty sure I was the host of the podcast at that point when Dennis Smith Jr. was with the Pistons. And the topic of discussion was the fact that his defense was really popping off for the Pistons, and maybe that was something he could use to stay in the league. And obviously now you see that's true. So I think this might be another scenario for RJ Hampton that the Pistons and Troy Weaver, which we'll talk about why that's important later, but have given another guy a chance to put on film, to put on tape, some good stuff for the rest of the NBA, showcase him to try to prolong his, try to give his career another year at least, or try to get him a contract with another team and help him out ahead of the offseason. And I think he has put enough stuff on tape to get somewhere else. He's shooting 39% from deep with the Pistons on 3 attempts a game. That's pretty good. His finishing has been really bad. You guys want to know a crazy stat? His finishing has actually been worse than Killian Hayes. And for someone as athletic as he is, and for someone who seemingly can get to the rim a lot, his finishing is really bad. That was shocking to me. And I went back and looked through his numbers throughout his career. His finishing has been really bad throughout his career. That was actually shocking for me to see. I did not expect that at all. But his shot actually looks pretty improved. And he feels pretty confident in the shot from what I've seen with the Pistons. And he has some potential, I feel like, on the defensive end. I don't feel like he's really good on that end, actually. But he has potential. He makes plays sometimes and he flashes it on that end. So I think he should get a contract somewhere else next season. I don't, probably not as a rotational player, but at least get a chance to be on an NBA roster next year. And I think a lot of that will have to do with how he's played for Detroit at the end of the season, shooting 39% from deep. And the reason why I put so much emphasis on Troy Weaver's name is that this is something we've talked about in the podcast before. This is something that's going to help the Pistons down the road, I feel like. The fact that Weaver continues to do solids for people, continues to do favors for these agents, and do favors for agents' players, it gets around the league. People will know this. People will know how the Pistons treat their players. They'll know that they always try to treat them right. Agents will know this. And trust me, if you don't think that agents and players know about how he did Marvin Bagley a solid with his contract, if you don't think people are noticing how he continues to give guys who are, you know, kind of trending downward and out the NBA, he keeps giving them chances and contracts, two-year contracts with team options on the back end. If you don't think teams or people are noticing that, players, agents, they absolutely are. And with what he did with DSJ, I'm sure DSJ appreciates that immensely. I'm sure his agent will remember that for a while. I'm sure Yuji Amarui's agent will remember this for a while. I'm sure RJ Hampton's agent will remember this for a while. And a lot of these guys' agents, they have the same agent, is what I'm trying to say. I messed that up. A lot of these players have the same agents across the NBA. And word gets around, you develop good connections, you exhibit that you have a good culture and you care about players, and all of a sudden, maybe in a few years, players are talking about Detroit as a really good franchise and want to play for. And obviously they have to win. That eventually, at some point, you got to break this playoff drought, okay? Like, that has to happen. But once you start winning some, you combine with the winning, with what you're doing for these players and the word that's getting around that you treat these players right, you give these players chances, you do right by them, all this stuff. All of a sudden, the Pistons might be looked at as a stable franchise, a really nice franchise, a player-friendly franchise, all that kind of stuff. And that will help them down the line. I don't know if that's going to be enough to swing a superstar to Detroit, but it should, I feel like, in a few years, maybe swing some nice signings. Again, not superstar, but maybe some really good signings to when they're deciding between teams. That will help them get the guy that they want in free agency. At least I feel like, for sure. So I think that's the overall plan here. I've said that before. I think that's what their overall plan is with how they've been treating these guys like DSJ, Dennis Smith Jr., Yuji Amarui, Josh Jackson, who got that, Marvin Bagley getting his contract fully guaranteed, what they've done with RJ Hampton, all these guys that they, and there's plenty of other names too. Trey Lyles, who's a really good player now, or I wouldn't say a really good player, let me calm down with that, but a contributor for the Sacramento Kings. He was given a chance here in Detroit to really have a large role, showcase it, and now he's with the Kings really playing well. Like, I think all that stuff eventually comes back in your good graces at the end of the day. So I think there's a reason why they're doing it. I think it's incredibly smart, and I think it's really nice of them, and it helps create a culture, which is really needed in Detroit, especially when you've been losing for as long as they have. You need to build a culture. Obviously, winning has to happen to really build it, but once you have like these fundamentals in place for that culture, once the winning comes, that's the cherry on top. That's the big thing. You have all the other stuff. It's looking real good. So that's my overall thoughts with the RJ Hampton era, I guess, with the Pistons lately. Not blown away from him, but I think he'll get a contract moving forward from somebody. I don't think it's going to be with the Pistons, though. But I think it's a bigger point that needs to be talked about. Not just RJ Hampton, like I just mentioned. It's a bigger thing going on here, and I think it's really smart by Weaver. So let me know what's in the comment section down below or over on Twitter, @KookHill. Do you guys agree with that? Or do you guys think I'm reaching here? Let me know. Again, comment section down below or over on Twitter, @KookHill. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button at the YouTube channel. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. And until next time, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe. Go Pistons. I'm not going to be able to say that much longer. Season's coming to an end. I can't believe it. But go Pistons. Till next time, peace out.